Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Beauty for Life show. We're on KRLD. It's 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. My name is Thomas Miller, and I'm joined this morning by honorably Dr. Peter Raffel.
Good morning, Thomas. Glad to be here.
Hey, it's always good to have you. Dr. Raffel started the American Institute for Plastic Surgery, co-founded. How many years ago?
It's been about 11 years now.
Awesome. And it's really grown to an amazing facility. Sits right on the corner, the southwest corner of Plano Parkway and the Dallas North Tollway up in Plano. And we are bringing you this program every week to talk about how you can look and feel your absolute best. And we have with us also this morning one of the physicians, the surgeons here, Dr. John Antonetti.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning to you and his dad, Papa Al Antonetti.
Bonjour.
And good morning to you. And also, Doctor, would you say that again?
Bonjour.
I love that. And Dr. Alan Doolin.
Good morning.
And also joining us here as well this morning, it is really a delight to have Angela with us. Angela is the front office coordinator, I guess. Is would that be best describe your position here?
You could say that.
What all do you do at the American Institute for Plastic Surgery?
Work with the patients, making appointments, just helping facilitate their office visit.
Answer a lot of questions,
lots
I'm sure.
Lots of questions.
Make sure they navigate through the process in the system, right?
Absolutely.
And that's part of the benefit of this practice as well, is from the minute you walk in the door, you know that you are dealing with a quality organization, and I know that you're a big part of that. And you're going to be helping us with some questions and comments and thoughts on this show today.
Glad to be here this morning.
All right, awesome. Good to have you. All right, we are going to talk today about something that is right in front of you. Every time you look in a mirror, you see a couple of things, right? And one of them is your nose. And sometimes you look at your nose and you say, I wish it was fill in the blank, right? Well, you guys have some answers. Let's talk about rhinoplasty today.
Well, first thing would be explain rhinoplasty. It's a surgery of the nose, and what we can do with it is to use this surgery to make some changes with the nose. We can change the nasal width. We can change the profile of the face. This is done by taking down a hump on the nose, or we can fill depression on the nasal bridge. We can also reduce the size of the nose or bring the face into balance with the rhinoplasty. Other areas of the nose that we can change are the nostril shape and size or the nasal tip. We can refine the nasal tip, either a drooping tip, we can pick that up, or we can take a thick nasal tip and make it more proportional and make a tip more narrow. Other aspects of nasal surgery that we do has to deal with the nasal septum. Sometimes we have difficulty breathing. And we also address this when we do our rhinoplasty.
Lots of guys have the old deviated septum, don't we? Or have had.
A lot of people that have broken their nose one way or the other over the years.
Absolutely. Angela, just from a woman's standpoint, tell me what nose equates to for you. Have you ever had a rhinoplasty?
I've not, but it's certainly something that I am considering doing.
So. Why would you consider it?
I'd like mine a little bit thinner. Not that, you know, I'm not terribly unhappy with it. I just think it could be refined a little bit.
Okay. Let's talk about that relative to her nose. What would you guys advise her if she were asking you for a consultation?
What I would say is, what is it that bothers you about your nose? And that is the same thing that all of us say to any patient that comes in. People come in sometimes and they ask, well, what do you suggest that I do? I don't suggest anything. I suggest that you tell me what it is that bothers you about your nose, and then I'll tell you if I can or if I cannot do something about that. I'm not about to suggest that anybody have their nose changed or any other thing changed. We need to know exactly what is it that bothers you.
Well, let's talk about Angela. I know you can't see her nose on radio, but she has a beautiful face and she has a nice looking nose, but she thinks maybe it could be a little thinner.
I think the first thing is to, first of all, understand what happens to the nose from youth as we grow into adulthood and onward. And we see a lot of folks that come in, they may bring their teenage child in who's 16 or 17 or just getting ready to go off to college, to have us look at their nose because they feel, you know, it doesn't match their face. And that's a very common time for us to address rhinoplasty type issues, because you may have a, you know, beautiful, beautiful young adult who now all of a sudden is really troubled by the appearance of the hump on their nose or the width of their tip or the bulbousness. And so those things can be addressed at that time. As we go into our sort of mid-adult years, it's interesting because our nose continues to change. And Angela, maybe you've noticed this over the years. Maybe when you were 20, you weren't as troubled by your nose. Now, all of a sudden, I believe you're in your 40s.
Shh.
We'll keep that quiet. That's just between us.
30s.
Of course. But as we get into our 30s and 40s and 50s, all of a sudden, we have a different outlook on our nose because now, all of a sudden, the hump might be more pronounced, the tip is starting to hang more, and the tip becomes more boxy or full. And now, something that didn't bother us as much 20 years ago starts to bother us more now. Would you say that's the case with you?
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, I really didn't think it was a problem in my 20s, but as I've gotten a little bit older, it has been. I think it has widened out a little bit.
Right. And so now all of a sudden you start looking at it and you say, wait a minute, I don't think that the tip appearance or the width of my nose is quite what it used to be. And I have a confession here to make just to this group, so I want to really keep it, you know, confidential here.
We won't tell anybody.
You won't tell anybody.
No, this
okay.
won't go anywhere.
Okay, thank you.
Right.
Thank you.
Promise.
I had my nose done by one of the surgeons here 10 years ago, so please, again, let's keep that confidential. And it was the same situation. I'm in my 50s. When I was in my 20s, my nose didn't bother me at all. My 30s, it didn't bother me. I started hitting about 40, and all of a sudden, my nose started seemed to grow, which it certainly does. And by that time, I said, you know what? It troubles me enough that I'm willing to, you know, lay on the table for an hour and have it fixed. And it's been 10 years. I also had a little bit of difficulty breathing, so I had my airway worked on, and I'm delighted. So not only as a surgeon, but as a patient, I've been through that process. And it can really do a lot of positive things for us. And I think that's sort of what you're saying. You're at a point now.
My question would be about the downtime. What do we have to worry about as far as bruising? When can I go back out in public again?
It varies significantly depending on what procedure you actually have done during the rhinoplasty. But most patients at a week will have some mild bruising that can be covered up with some makeup and can go back, you know, to most activities at a week pretty easily. You know, you still have to protect your nose because just like any other structure, it's still healing, and you don't want to be hitting the nose after the first week. But most people are back doing, you know, most things at a week and are back to work.
Well, another question along that same line is, after you've had surgery to your nose, when can you wear glasses again?
A lot of that, Thomas, depends on what exactly, like Dr. Doolin mentioned earlier, is being done to the nose. If the primary purpose of the nose was to refine a tip and not a lot of bony work was done to the bridge, then really after the splint is off, you can likely wear glasses. However, if we had to break the nose or use significant cartilage grafts on the bridge or do a lot of changes there, the nose is going to be pretty tender for a while. And what I personally recommend for patients is they can put their glasses on, but put a little piece of tape and just sort of support it against the forehead. That way it doesn't have to rest heavily on the bridge of the nose.
You can use a small piece of tape and tape the glasses to the forehead, but it also depends on what kind of glasses you wear. If you wear some glasses that are real thin and weigh very little, well, probably be okay to wear those glasses right away. But if you wear a pair of glasses that weigh 5 pounds, well, that's a different story. And you don't want that hanging on the bridge of your nose 1 week after the rhinoplasty.
But you know, they can always, you know, put contacts in, you know, pretty much immediately after surgery. And if it's someone that can wear contacts and they've had a rhinoplasty, I would recommend wearing the contacts for 6 weeks afterwards.
So what's involved with a typical rhinoplasty?
When we say typical rhinoplasty, I guess we'd have to define the needs of the particular patient. If it's dealing with just the nasal tip, then we rearrange cartilage within the nasal tip to get the desired achieve to either make a boxy tip more narrow or smooth, or we may need to take down a dorsal hump, and that's going to involve some bony work. So if we're dealing with just a nasal tip, a quicker recovery. If we're dealing with a nasal dorsal hump and somebody wants a smaller nose there, we have to adjust the bones, take down the bones, and possibly infracture to make the actual width of the nose more narrow.
We are talking about rhinoplasty here on the Beauty for Life show on KRLD, brought to you every week by the American Institute for Plastic Surgery in Plano. I want to give you a website, and you can look at some pictures while we're talking about this. It's www.ai4ps.com. There's a tab that says Picture Gallery, and if you go on there, scroll down, you'll see some rhinoplasty pictures. You can see exactly what we're talking about. Consultations for all cosmetic procedures at the American Institute for Plastic Surgery are absolutely free. You can contact them tomorrow morning at 469-429-7500. Traffic and weather together are next on KRLD, and then we'll be right back talking about your nose. Welcome back to the Beauty for Life show on KRLD, brought to you by the American Institute for Plastic Surgery in Plano. We have four of the board-certified plastic surgeons joining us for this segment, Dr. Al Antonetti. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
And Dr. Peter Raffel as well.
Good morning, Thomas.
And Dr. John Antonetti.
Hello.
You are the what generation Antonetti surgeon now?
Somewhere between, surgeon, I think the fourth.
Fourth generation surgeon, but how many generations of physicians?
Seven.
Yeah, actually seven.
Man, that's amazing. And Dr. Alan Doolin.
I'm first generation.
And good for you. First of many, right? You'll start the tradition going forward. And also, we have with us this morning from the front office of the American Institute for Plastic Surgery, patient coordinator Angela. Thanks
morning,
for joining
Thomas.
Us. Good morning.
One of the questions we get often about the rhinoplasty is, where are the scars? Where's the suturing done?
Well, regardless of what needs to be done, there are two basic approaches to the rhinoplasty. One is called the internal approach, and the other one is the open approach. When you use the internal approach, which is the older approach, all the incisions are made inside the nose, and there's nothing on the outside that you will see. And there's the open approach, which was developed later, and that involves making an incision across the columella. The columella is the partition right down the center of the nose. When you look at the nose from the bottom up, the area in between the edge of the septum, that is called the columella. And you can make a small incision across there and then go to the inside and combine it with the internal approach, and then you get exposure. The difference is that you will have that little scar across, and I can tell you that that scar is very, very hard to see, and I can't remember any time doing that procedure where the scar was noticeable. And then there's a third scar that you may or may not have, and that depends on whether you need to reduce the base of the nose, and that is called where the alas of the nose are. And if you need to reduce that, you will have a scar along the crease of the nose on each side. And again, those scars are almost very hard. They're very hard to see. You know, most of the time you can't even see them, but that's where the scars will be. And not everybody needs that scar. A lot of times we do not narrow the base of the nose.
So that's only if it's wide right there at
the base.
If
it's real wide, then you will have that. But otherwise, most of the time you don't do that, or I don't do that most of the time.
Dr. Raffel, where are your scars?
Just across the columella, that little portion of skin that separates the nostrils, and you can't see it. So it's really a non-issue. The difference between the two techniques, really, the open approach, it's almost counterintuitive because you think, wow, the original approach didn't have any incision at all on the outside and the new one does. But the advantage of that small incision, it allows an exposure to the structures, the internal structures of the nose, that allows for a much more precise contour change in the cartilages. And really, to do a safer rhinoplasty, if you would, because you can do more changes without taking out as much cartilage and, you know, potentially compromising the stability of the nose.
But so then again, sometimes you don't need to do that because you need very little changes in
right.
that cartilage.
Absolutely.
And if that's the case, if you're used to doing the internal approach, it's a little bit faster. And It just works well. You just have to be used to doing that.
Yeah, I think the reason why the open approach is really used a lot now is I think it holds up better over time. You know, we've made up all these names for different deformities that we would see, you know, 10, 20 years later after the closed techniques that, you just don't see as much anymore because we do more of the open techniques. And I think it just because it's done a little different and you're seeing that framework, I think it holds up better long term.
When patients come in and they want to have the rhinoplasty, sometimes it's really hard for them to explain what it is that they're looking for, or what they want the results to be. How can we help them with that?
Well, in my opinion, this is the one setting in our specialty where computer imaging is invaluable. It's the one setting where I insist on using it, as a matter of fact, because I don't use it to promise somebody a result. I use it as a communication tool where I can say, based on your starting point, in other words, this is the nose that you come in with, I make the changes on the computer that I feel are reasonable and realistic to do, and then I can show them to the patient and use it as a communication tool to see if we basically agree with the changes that we want. In other words, when someone says, I want a smaller nose, their opinion of what is smaller might be different than ours. And by communicating with the computer imaging, I can show them and say, this is what I feel I can potentially achieve. And then they can look at that and say, that is very consistent or isn't consistent. And this is a means by which to manage their expectations as well. So we don't in any way promise a result, but at least we can be on the same page in terms of the proposed goals, if you would.
Most people that inquire about a rhinoplasty will have two basic problems, and one of them is a hump in the nose, and it could be a real large hump or it could be a pretty small hump. The other problem is that the tip of the nose kind of dips down a little bit. Most patients come in with either a relative or a friend, and one of the things that I find really helpful is I will put a finger on the dorsum of the nose, and then with my thumb I will push up on the tip, and I will show that to the relative. This is what I'm talking about. We're talking about straightening out the dorsum and taking the tip and moving it up a little bit, and when the friend sees that, they say, oh yeah. And I think it's just as good as a computer.
All right, we're going to talk about more communicating about, in fact, let's ask the question when we come back, what is the perfect nose? And how do you communicate that to somebody? All right? We're talking about your nose and rhinoplasty on the Beauty for Life show on KRLD, brought to you by the American Institute for Plastic Surgery, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to the Beauty for Life show on KRLD, brought to you by the American Institute for Plastic Surgery in Plano. Dr. John Antonetti, Dr. Al Antonetti, Dr. Alan Doolin, and Angela, the patient coordinator, front office manager, and you've had a few things done here as well, have you not?
I have had a few
things.
All right,
we're going to tap into your expertise as we go along. Dr. John Antonetti, we left off right at the last segment talking about photo imaging and how you show people what it looks like. Your dad was talking about how he can illustrate to people visually what their nose might look like. How do you communicate to people about what this is going to do?
Well, over the years, we have a lot of definitions of what the ideal aesthetic nose is, and this will change based on our culture. We have some proportions that we say is the ideal nose, but in reality, there is no ideal nose, and in my opinion, I think a nose is what somebody wants. So when somebody comes wanting a change in their nose, it's very important to understand what is it about their nose that they want changed and what their goals are. We want to make sure that the surgeon's goals matches the patient's goals. And one of the tools that we were talking on, Dr. Raphael was touched on earlier, was the photo imaging. And I find this to be very valuable to make sure that our goals match the patient's goals. And an example that I can think of is I had a patient come in and they said, well, I just want my tip changed. So I said, you know, okay, I think we can change the tip. We can make the tip a little bit more narrow. And I said, but I want to make sure that this is what you're looking for. So I changed the tip with the photo program. And then I also changed the dorsum of the nose. And I showed the patient, well, these are some things that we can achieve with just a tip rhinoplasty. This is what I could expect we could achieve. And with a full rhinoplasty, we would be going in this direction. And he said, well, really what I want is a full rhinoplasty. You know, because I don't want my dorsal hump anymore. So using these tools, we help the patient visualize what we can potentially achieve and make sure that our surgery matches what their expectations will be.
So these are actual pictures of the patient, and you're showing them on a computer what
we
potentially
take, yeah,
you could do.
During the initial consultation, we'll have them come in. We discuss what they're looking for. We'll take some photographs, and then we'll use that to make our simulations and see what our different options are. Do we want a tip rhinoplasty, a full rhinoplasty, and how much reduction in the nose do you really want?
You know, in the end, all of this is about making the patient happy. And the communication tool of the photographs is very important, because trying to define what the patient wants and make sure that we can achieve that, because a lot of patients come in with unrealistic expectations. You know, they may have a nose that has very thick skin, and they bring in a picture of someone with very thin skin, and they say, I want my nose to look like theirs. Well, there's no amount of rhinoplasty is going to make that happen. We can improve their nose and make it fit their face and fit their body and look good, but it may not be what they want. And we need to make sure that we find that out ahead of time, because you don't want to find that out after surgery and have someone that's unhappy. We want to find out before surgery that they understand what is achievable, what to expect, and make sure we deliver what they expect.
All right. And, you know, you can always have a free consultation here, right? You will talk to the patients about this. You'll go through the process of this photo imaging for a free consultation, right?
If there's anybody out there that's thinking about making some changes to their nose or their facial profile, we'd be happy to see them in consultation and do some of these simulations that we're talking about.
Okay, now, earlier we were talking with Angela. You were saying that you've never had a rhinoplasty, but maybe you'd think about it.
Yeah, I am considering it. As a matter of fact, we did the computer simulation on my nose last week.
You've moved this forward,
yeah,
have you?
It was really exciting now.
Really? Well, talk about what was that like?
Well, you know, again, I was kind of on the edge. I wasn't sure if I wanted it done or not. But boy, once I saw that, I thought it made a huge difference.
What did you see that would be different?
Well, I think it will make me look a little bit younger, which we could all use. But I just think it'll improve my self-esteem. I think that it would fit my face a little bit better.
And what would you change?
I would like to make mine thinner.
All the way down? Yeah, Dr. Doolin is looking.
He's examining.
He's like, really?
Yeah, okay. It's just, I think it's a little wide, and so I'd like to thin it out a little bit.
Well, but it's like Dr. Antonetti has said so many times, and all of you guys have said, really, it's if it bothers you, then it's something to take a look at, right? And
I would say if it is the little hump that bothers you, and if it is like it's a little bit wide, I think you would need a little resection of the dorsal hump and moving the tip up a little bit. And then when you do that, you know, you probably would do an infracture, which would make it even thinner. I think the base of your nose looks really pretty nice as it is, and your tip looks very nice.
Why, thank you.
So there you go. See, I wanted
all
to get that consultation
right
in for
I
you.
Got it, yeah.
All right. And then the picture's worth 1,000 words.
Absolutely.
But you were sold. You saw it. That was it.
Yeah. No. Once I saw those pictures, I knew that's definitely what I wanted.
Would you let us capture your procedure on the radio?
Only after we capture you on the Tickle Lipo.
On the Tickle Lipo. Okay. All right. She can hold me down. How about that? This is brought to you by the American Institute for Plastic Surgery. We're having fun on the Beauty for Life show on KRLD. If you'd like a free consultation and this such thing that we're talking about, photos and holding you down for Tickle Lipo and this kind of thing, give us a call at the American Institute for Plastic Surgery, 469-429-7500. The website is www.ai4ps.com. Welcome back to the Beauty for Life show on KRLD, brought to you by the American Institute for Plastic Surgery. Angela is joining me here from the American Institute front office. Thanks for being with us for this program.
Oh, you're welcome.
And tell us about the facility in general. It's fairly new, right? You came here how long ago? Did you move?
Yeah, we moved here in February of last year. Beautiful facilities. Very comfortable for our patients. Gorgeous when you walk in the door.
Nice place to work, too,
absolutely.
I would imagine. You got a good deal, don't you?
I would say that we have the nicest waiting room anywhere. I don't know many places that would have a whole waterfall coming down the wall.
That's pretty impressive when you walk in the door. It is really nice.
This is Dr. Al Antonetti and his son, Dr. John Antonetti, joining us. We're talking about rhinoplasty today. Angela, from a woman's perspective now, what do women tend to think and ask questions most about their nose?
Well, I think, you know, for women, we're concerned about, you know, when can we put makeup on? When can we get back out in public? And, you know, how long is our downtime when we're looking at something like that?
Okay, so let's ask the surgeons now, how much recovery time and what kind of scarring is associated?
It's going to depend a little bit on what kind of activity you're looking to get back to. The first week is going to be the most relaxed, no strenuous activity. We wear a splint whenever we do a full rhinoplasty and change the shape of the nose. We typically wear a splint day and night for the first 10 days. After that, we can start taking it off during the daytime. So for the first 10 days, expect to be wearing a nasal splint that's going to hold the nose, nasal bones in place. After that, we start wearing the splint at night, and I would say by usually 1 or 2 weeks, you can expect a full return to work.
Do you have your patients wear a splint for 10 days?
For 10 days, yes, day and night.
I normally use it for about 7 days, and I take the splint off at 7 days. I take the tape off. And then what I do is I tell my patients they can go to work. However, when they get home, I use the splint and I tell them to sleep with a splint on. And I would do that for the next couple of weeks or so. But a lot of patients have to go back to work by 1 week. And it makes it more difficult if they still have the splint on. So I tell them they can take it off to go to work.
Is there anything that the patient can do that would help... Well, I know you can't eliminate the bruising, but make it a little less prominent.
A patient can get black eyes from a rhinoplasty. However, that is very rare. I would say that most of the time the bruising is minimal, and by about 5 days, it's just about gone, and you can put some makeup on very easily, and you can cover the whole thing up by 5 days. The amount of bruising, although potentially you could get a lot, it's very rare. Most people get very little bruising. And by 5 days, they're capable of going back to work. Now, I wouldn't want them playing competitive tennis or something like that early, but they can just about do whatever they want to otherwise.
There's one thing that I've been doing lately with rhinoplasties. We'll get some swelling in the nasal tip, and I've been having them put preparation H on the nasal tip, and I'm sure my father won't like this, but I find that the swelling
I have been to the meetings, and I've seen people discuss that, and it seems like it works. You know, however, the amount of swelling that you get is really very small. But there's no question that preparation H for hemorrhoids does work on the nose, and it makes the swelling less.
I think on the whole, it's been pretty helpful for the swelling.
Is there anything they can do before the surgery? You know, a lot of times people ask about the vitamins and the different things. Is there anything they can do that will help that?
There's some basic things that help with healing. Having a good nutrition, vitamin C helps with healing. Just a general nutrition is going to help, but I think there's things that we do need to avoid, and that's going to be medications that can increase bleeding, such as aspirin or NSAIDs, such Advil. Those type of medicines we would want to avoid for probably about 14 days before surgery.
There's another element that we talk about often now as we're discussing who is qualified for one of these surgeries, and smoking keeps coming up. Now, that's a really prominent area. If somebody smokes, what are they up against? Would you even do a rhinoplasty on a smoker?
Yes, I would. As far as for this kind of surgery, it doesn't really bother me a whole lot that the patient smoke. I think it's a horrible thing to do. For a facelift, I would never do a facelift on somebody that smokes, or I would do it very limited. But for the nose, I think it's okay.
I would have them stop for 4 weeks before surgery. If it were a closed rhinoplasty, I wouldn't mind doing a closed rhinoplasty on a smoker, but an open rhinoplasty, I'd be a little bit
nervous. Not everybody is capable of stopping smoking.
Is that because of the healing? Heal better?
It has to do with blood flow. I feel more comfortable with a closed rhinoplasty because we're not elevating any skin. With an open rhinoplasty, you're elevating skin, and you have
with the open rhinoplasty, you worry about that little bridge of skin right across the bottom of the nose, and that you may lose that. However, that is such a rare occurrence. I've never seen it. I've heard about it, but it's extremely rare.
Smokers, less blood flow, wound healing problems.
Are there any other complications?
Well, rhinoplasty is a very standard procedure. It's very intricate, but we have standard techniques, and in general, there are not a lot of complications associated with the rhinoplasty. One thing that we do have to really define is the patient's expectations. That way our surgical goals can meet what they want, and to avoid the complication of an unsatisfied patient. That's why we do some of this preoperative planning to know exactly what we're aiming to achieve.
All right, good. Angela, we got you your visit. We got you your plan. We know where we're headed, and we are going to take a break on the Beauty for Life show on KRLD. It's brought to you by the American Institute for Plastic Surgery up in Plano. Their telephone number for free consultations. Would you like to have a photo image of your nose done so you could see what this would be like for you? We'll call them. Call Angela. Can they call you on Monday?
Absolutely.
All right. Telephone number is 469-429-7500, and the website is www.ai4ps.com. This is the Beauty for Life show on KRLD. Welcome back. Thomas Miller with Dr. John Antonetti.
Good morning.
And Dr. Al Antonetti, his dad.
Good morning, everybody.
And Angela, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, we're talking about your nose, rhinoplasty. What can you do to slim and trim and take that hump off and fix that tip and all those things that you have waited all this time to get done and you know you'd like to? Give the American Institute for Plastic Surgery a call at 469-429-7500. You want to see a picture? Check out the website. Picture gallery on the homepage. www.ai4ps.com. All right, Angela, let's talk about what happens when somebody calls. Walk us through how they would go from to making a decision that I'm going to do it.
Sure. Well, when you call in for an appointment, you'll speak generally with myself or Kim, our new patient telephone coordinator, and we'll kind of walk you through the process and, you know, help you determine what it is that you're looking for and if there's a particular doctor that you have in mind, and we'll get that appointment set up. And if you've got an email address, a lot of times we'll be able to get you the patient paperwork in advance so you can get that all filled out and ready. And so when you come in for your appointment, if you've got your paperwork, and we'll get that all taken care of. If not, we'll get it taken care of here as well. But you'll meet with a coordinator for the doctor that you've chosen. And she'll kind of help you, guide you through that process. And then, of course, you'll get to meet the doctor, and he'll do his examination. And you guys can kind of talk about a game plan.
One of the things, we don't only talk about what we're trying to achieve aesthetically, cosmetically for the rhinoplasty. We have to inspect the nose, see if there's any kind of functional deficit. Some people come in and they want to straighten their nose out or refine their nasal tip, but they may have a breathing problem. Their nasal septum may be deviated, or they may have these internal organs in the nose, the nasal turbinates, that are hypertrophied. And we can't just do the cosmetic portion without addressing functional portions of the nose as well, the breathing aspect of the nose. So after talking with the patient coordinator, the doctor, we come in, evaluate the patient's breathing. We look at their aesthetic aspects of the nose and what they want to achieve. And then for a rhinoplasty in particularly, sometimes we may find other aspects, other procedures that may benefit being performed at the same time. And with a rhinoplasty, sometimes we will recommend a chin augmentation. This is one of the few times when somebody comes in for one procedure, we may recommend an additional procedure. And Dad, do you ever recommend...
I never mention anything to the patient about what should be done unless they ask me a question about it first, except with a chin implant. When the patient complains about the nose, a lot of times it is something that has to do with the chin. If the chin is very small, it may make the nose look way larger than it is. And by putting a chin implant, it puts the whole face in harmony. and the nose just looks totally different when you put a chin implant in. So I do mention the small chin to a patient when they complain about the nose, and that is the only time I would ever mention such a thing to anybody.
You know, I keep coming back to you, Angela, because you said that you were considering maybe after, you know, quite a while, right, that all of a sudden your nose might be something that you'd want to take a look at trimming down.
And as
down,
I see,
right?
Angela's chin, it
would
looks
you?
Very nice the way it is.
So would you recommend a chin implant for
no,
her?
No, I would not.
What is it about her chin? Why would you not?
I personally like her chin the way it is.
Okay.
There's certain facial balance or proportions that bring the face into harmony. With a weak chin or a smaller chin, it throws the face out of balance. And a patient may benefit from nasal reduction, but without increasing the size of the chin, we're not going to achieve the facial balance that the patient ultimately would like to have.
And before we jump out of here, let's talk about breathing and how you can affect somebody's possible functionality with this procedure.
Breathing problems are due to two things: a deviated septum, and let me say that everybody has a deviated septum. No one has a straight septum. We have deviations. Some of us have more deviation than others. And if the deviation of the septum goes way against one side, you will have obstruction to breathing. There are two other things that are important, and that is the turbinates. Turbinates are some small bones on the lateral side of the nose that are covered by mucosa. The mucosa swells sometimes, a lot of times due to allergies, and the combination of the deviated septum and the large turbinate will cause airway obstruction. If the airway obstruction is significant, we can do some things by taking out parts of the septum, by straightening out the septum, by reducing the size of the turbinates, that will make the airflow better into the nose, and it makes the breathing easier. This should be done if it really bothers the patient. If the breathing part is not bothering the patient, there's no need to do this, and I would say that it shouldn't be done unless it really bothers the patient. This is totally different than having a rhinoplasty. You can do both procedures together, but they are independent and they are done for different reasons.
So if it's a breathing problem, then insurance might cover a portion of that?
Yes, insurance may cover that. They will cover it if it's a breathing problem, but they will not cover the cosmetic part of the rhinoplasty.
So you could combine the two, though?
Yeah, you can.
All right, very good. We have talked about so many aspects. Thank you for clarifying that about what you can do, actually, for the functionality, too. If you would like to talk to one of these board-certified plastic surgeons, Angela, what's the best way for somebody to get a hold of you?
Give us a call.
All right. The telephone number is 469-429-7500. You can ask for Angela.
Sure.
And she'll walk you through what she just talked about when we started this segment about getting you in. You can meet with Dr. John Antonetti or his dad, Al Antonetti. Dr. Alan Doolin, Dr. Peter Raffel, or Dr. Scott Harris, all will talk to you. Board certified by the American Board of Plastic Surgery. All of the procedures are done here at the Surgery Center for Texas, located adjacent to the American Institute for Plastic Surgery in Plano. We're located at the corner of Plano Parkway and the Dallas North Tollway. Picture's worth a thousand words, and we've got a gallery on the website at www.ai4ps.com. Give them a call and get one of these photo simulations for yourself. You can see what you would look like with a
specialist. Angela will take care of all.
Boy, she will. Would you join us next week?
Okay.
Thank you for helping us today. We appreciate it. All right, we're out of here. Thank you all. We'll see you next week on the Beauty for Life show on KRLD.
The preceding was a paid commercial program paid for by the American Institute for Plastic Surgery and does not reflect the opinions or advice of KRLD or CBS Radio.